In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He made us and made all things, visible and invisible. He upholds us and all things by the word of his power. Dear listening friends, the Bible teaches that humanity is rooted in the creation of Adam. He was initially blessed with very intimate contact with his holy, gracious, and almighty Creator. Adam was endowed with a divine image. Of all creatures, he alone enjoyed resemblance to the Creator in two major areas. He enjoyed a blessed knowledge of God's goodness. He also enjoyed a holy, divine-like nature. Unlike all other creatures, his very essence was brought into being by the most direct and deliberate divine actions. The Holy Spirit breathed into a divinely shaped form of earthly material. This gave Adam an immortal soul in the image and likeness of the gracious Creator. Friends, the fall of Adam corrupted his soul and the divine image and likeness he enjoyed. His intimate relation with God was severed. His descendants, that is all humanity, inherited his corrupted soul. The Creator lovingly desired to redeem humanity and restore to man his original closeness to himself. This required a costly plan of divine intervention. A new Adam was needed. He must have a perfectly sinless human soul, a soul enjoying the original divine image and likeness. This was fully fulfilled by the promised Messiah, the new Adam, who also enjoys a fully divine nature. As mysteriously promised after the first Adam's fall in sin, his human soul was divinely implanted in the womb of the promised woman. That woman was, of course, the Virgin Mary. Friends, in the same way as the first Adam received his perfect human soul by the Holy Spirit, Christ's human soul was also given by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin's womb. For 33 years, he lived a sinless life on earth and so fully qualified to provide redemption for humanity. Those who cling to him receive forgiveness for their sins. They are recreated as a new humanity. Christ fulfilled the divine saving plan. By his sinless life, death, and resurrection, as the perfect divine new Adam, he accomplished the redemptive work mankind so desperately needed. Friends, the first chapter of Paul's letter to the church in the city of Ephesus says of believers in Christ, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory." So how does the holy and gracious divine counsel which Christ fulfilled become a reality in believers' lives? Paul goes on to clarify. He says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." So it is the Holy Spirit who applies Jesus' redemptive work to the descendants of the fallen first Adam. Yes, the Holy Spirit does the rest of the needed work. First, he makes sure that they hear the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. and the Holy Spirit wisely and sovereignly makes arrangements for that in His own timing and in His own ways. The Holy Spirit uses human efforts to get the saving message of the gospel to our attention. People hear about Christ and His work in diverse manners, some directly from family, friends, or acquaintances, some hear at a meeting of a group of believers, or over the airwaves, or through the internet. Others read it for themselves from the Holy Scriptures or gospel literature. Still others are guided by the Holy Spirit to make inquiries, search and research for themselves. Becoming acquainted with Christ and His divine work of wonderful saving grace is all divinely arranged. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Dear listening friends, many hear the message or somehow become acquainted with it. But this is not enough. One must also see his or her own desperate need for it. This means recognizing that they are indeed sinners needing Christ's divine saving work of forgiveness. Knowing the facts is not sufficient. No. One must be convinced that receiving Christ's saving grace for oneself is a life-changing transfer from belonging to the fallen, sinful first Adam to belonging to the saving, holy, new Adam, Jesus Christ. Clinging to Christ and embracing His saving work is called faith. This takes place by the operation of the Holy Spirit, who does so much more than that. Friends, the faith which the Holy Spirit gives believers is much more than just believing in who Christ is and in the saving work He accomplished. Saving faith clings to Christ. It commits to follow Him, even when that leads to hostilities, opposition, and even suffering. This too needs the powerful aid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit generously provides and secures all that is needed. Ephesians chapter 1 states that believers in Christ are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of their inheritance until they acquire possession of that which Christ accomplished for them, which is new life. By the gracious work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they bring praise of Christ's glory. Hallelujah.